On the show today, ideas about doing it yourself. And for our next speaker, well, her story starts by doing not much at all, just scrolling through social media.
Yeah, so this was July 2014, and at that time, I fully would use Twitter and social media, but mostly Twitter as a sort of newspaper, and just scroll through my timeline for any sort of news just to see what was happening in the world.
This is Tiffany Ashley Bell, and on that day in 2014, one news story caught her eye.
I ran across an article that talked about how people in Detroit were about to have to live without running water.
The article was in The Atlantic, and the headline read, "What happens when Detroit shuts off the water of 100,000 people?"
At the time, I was a consultant for the city of Atlanta. So seeing the story where another major city was going to shut off the water of a ton of people made me, you know, intrigued and confused. And so I also just decided to read it.
The crew came out this morning and cut her off.
What she learned was pretty jarring. For months, trucks had been going street by street, shutting off the water to nearly anyone who was overdue on their bills.
I can't take a bath. I can't wash up. I don't have water to do anything, and it's me and my three children.
So people had started collecting rainwater.
Well, I think we're going into a third world direction.
Others walked to relatives' houses to fill up jugs or take showers.
My neighbors who don't have water can come and get water. And yes, there was
even child custody was at risk.
A child living in a home without basic utilities like water is living in a dwelling that's, like the legal language, unfit for habitation. And when that's a thing, then that child can be removed from that home.
Turns out, water in Detroit costs twice the national average. And one out of three residents live below the poverty line. So sometimes they just can't afford to pay for water. Tiffany also learned that the shutoff started after Detroit declared bankruptcy in 2013.
So a lot of it had to do with the city being under emergency management.
Today we decided to file for Chapter 9 protection.
Chapter 9 filing came today. Detroit faces a long-term debt estimated at a whopping $18 to $20 billion.
Detroit had a lot of bond debt that they needed to pay. And so the solution the city had at that time to collect the money they were not collecting was just to shut people off. And so what I ended up seeing was people who were in truly dire straits, effectively being bullied by their local government. And that's what really triggered me.
Let's be honest. Most of us probably would have read the article, retweeted, and moved on. Not Tiffany. Here is Tiffany Ashley Bell on the TED stage.
To me, how they were being treated and how easy it was to simply deny them something that we all need to live was disgusting. It's disgusting. But to me, this also felt personal, even though I have no direct family ties to Detroit. And here's why. Many of the people who were facing shutoffs were Black. Many were also, like myself, Black women. And Lord knows it's not the first time in the United States that Black people have been denied basic human rights, like water. So to me, that created an overwhelming urge to do something, to help. I mean, I couldn't just read that and then go on about my day. But then it became a question of what can I, sitting in my pajamas as one person at home, actually do? Well, what? But wait. I'm a programmer and a heavy, heavy social media user. So I decided to tweet. I hate to hear people suffering and dealing with what is turning into a completely undignified situation. People are without water. July 17th, 2014 at 2:10 p.m. Is there a directory of any sort where people from Detroit can go for water relief? 4:05 p.m. Info on what people owe Detroit for water is online. 10:26 a.m., 10:27 a.m., 10:28 a.m. We want to connect people who need water bill assistance to folks who are willing to help. Over the course of a few hours of back and forth about what to do, we resolved to do the simplest, most obvious thing. We decided to pay some water bills. To do that, I spent a few hours digging around on the water company's website. And I found something interesting that sort of jump-started what to do for people. For some reason, there was a 400-page PDF of customers on the website that the water company couldn't deliver their bills to through the mail. One of the things that was interesting about this list is that it also included account numbers for people. So you could just take one of those account numbers and at that time, plug it into the website and see everything about that account. So I did that. And one of the things that was interesting, though, there was that I saw a make a payment button. So the idea then became, what if we got the account numbers of people that needed help and then made payments for them? So a few hours later, I built a website to find those people and start connecting them to people that needed help.
So you build the website, you mm-hmm. figure out a way to get people who maybe have some money and are mad like you that people can't pay their water bills, that there's a way to pay them. And you just put it out on Twitter? Like, what happened then?
Yeah, so we just tweeted it. My former co-founder and I, we just tweeted it. And, you know, people saw that and they began to pay some bills themselves. I heard from people over the years that they saw the same article and just were like, oh, this is great. I'm happy I can actually help somebody.
That's how, in the first 40 or so days of doing this, we paid over $100,000 in water bills by just simply... Thank you. By just simply sending people directly to the utility company's website to pay $5, $10, whatever they could afford.
I mean, so it's a decade later, basically, since that July day, and
sure.
The Detroit Water Project is now called the Human Utility. Do you remember when there was a moment where you thought, maybe this is something that needs to help cities beyond Detroit?
I think some of the earliest stories, and, you know, despite the fact that our website originally said Detroit, people from other places just started filing applications and asking if we could help where they were. And that's always happened. We've had people ask for our assistance in most of, you know, the states in the U.S., basically. And then also, we ask on the application, too, what people's situations are. And it's you know, a lot of the same stuff. People lost their jobs or there was a death in the family. We've had people who have gotten terminally ill and they can't work. And utilities don't have a lot of resources for folks, even in just that situation. So we've helped in a lot of situations that are pretty common across different cities.
I'm sure you've heard all of the criticism out there. This is a much greater problem than what you're tackling, isn't it? I mean, people need water to live. It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to people who say, you know, that's a very nice short-term solution that you've created, but how do we change things fundamentally?
I mean, I hear them. I think it's a valid criticism. You know, some people have referred to us as a Band-Aid solution. And a Band-Aid, at least, you know, an appropriately sized Band-Aid, at least gets you into the healing process. You know, I also want to emphasize that we're not the only ones that are doing something around this problem. There are a lot of activists and researchers and policymakers who are looking at this issue. And I think, you know, for us, we essentially give people a bridge to be able to still maintain access to water while these other folks are doing work around policy change. I always sort of believe we shouldn't exist, honestly. It would be great in 10, 15 years if we didn't have to do this for people, because water is affordable in the first place.
So what has been the response from utility companies, places like the Detroit Water System? What do they think of what you've done? Do you talk to them?
Yeah, we do. We do. I will say, and just be honest, initially, they were not happy to see us. We didn't mean to do this, but I think we embarrassed them as far as having a program in place that worked in certain ways before they did. But I think we've really tried to do the work and built a lot of relationships with people at utilities so that they know we're not, you know, we're not there to antagonize them in certain ways. We're just there to help people. And once they see that you sort of have the same imperative they do, they want to serve the public and things like that, it's easier to work with people.
When you put together and you start doing something that's imperfect, people will see what you're doing and they'll want to join you, make what you're doing bigger, more impactful, more meaningful, but all in ways unique to themselves. For us, that was the city employees who answered our emails on weekends and then during the week drove people to appointments to get their water turned back on. It was the people in mutual aid groups and nonprofits that partnered with us to completely pay off the water bills for some families. It was the people who actually really made this work possible, some of whom had been in this situation themselves a few years prior, where they couldn't afford their own bills, but they now could, so they were generous about it. It was the people who held bake sales to help people that they didn't know and would never meet. People will see you walking the walk, and they'll understand that that compassion is contagious.
There's something incredibly, like, simple in some ways, or forthright. You read about a problem, you got the information, figured out a system, built the thing, got people's bills paid, and then the water gets turned back on. It really is that simple. But what really seems like the hardest part to me in some ways is not continuing to scroll in Twitter, stopping and deciding that in some ways the buck was going to stop with you.
Yeah. Again, I think some of that is just my personality. And for me, as a Black woman in the United States, when you see like your people being impacted by something that's just indefensible, at least for me, it was easy to try to do something. And I also, I'm a military brat, and I grew up not wanting for anything. We didn't want for clothes, water, food, housing. And I just think that should be the baseline we provide for everybody. Those are just human rights for me. But yeah, people really were enthusiastic about having a really simple, transparent way of helping their fellow man, basically.
It was the case of, if you build it, they will come.
I think so. That's not always true, but I think it was a very emotional thing for people. Everybody sees problems in this country. People are not blind to the suffering of others, but there often is a sort of question of, what can I do? People tell me this all the time. You made it very easy to do something. And I think just that resonated with people.
Tiffany Ashley Bell is the executive director of The Human Utility. You can see her full talk at TED.com. And a quick note, the city of Detroit is now piloting a water affordability program with 2% of its residents. You're listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Anoush Zamarodi, and we'll be right back.